I'm excited about what God is doing in people's lives, and so I want to talk to you about fasting and prayer, and it's really important. I'm not very good at fasting myself, because I just really like eating. I do, you know? So I can I'll say, okay, I'll skip two meals, but that third meal, it'll make up for anything I missed and some, you know? But I do it, and that's kind of the religious thing. Well, yeah, I fasted, you know? But I don't really have the concept of what this means, and why do you fast? Just, do we fast to lose weight, or do we fast to get closer to God? And why would we, were we twisting his arm? You know, like, okay, God, I'm going to starve if you don't talk to me. It's nothing like that. What it is that you're going to put away all the things that encompass your life for that period of time, and you're going to focus on him. You have a clearer mind when you don't eat, if you don't think about eating, right? If you can just say, you know what, I'm here for, I'll drink some water, some juice, or whatever the case is. But I just want to talk to you why God wants us to fast. And so, in Isaiah 58, it says this. Shout it out. Do not hold back. Raise your voice like a trumpet. Declare to my people the rebellion and the descendants of Jacob their sins. Shout it out. So what do we do? And this is the prophecy from Isaiah, obviously, to the people of God. But we have a trumpet to sound as well today in this world that's dying and going to hell. We need to shout it out. We need to shout it out from the rooftops. We need to shout it out just like the resounding sound of a trumpet. Now, I don't think it's the right way to go and say, you know what? Get on the street corner and say, you're going to die and go to hell. You're going to burn in hell if you don't know Jesus. Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's a beauty. But if you want to come to Christ, come to my church. And the first thing I would think is, I wouldn't want to spend eternity with a nut bar like you. And that wasn't the way Jesus did it either. You know, he got a little ticked off with the Pharisees and the religious people of the world, and I don't have a problem with that, because people who are religious, don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, try to manipulate or form things to make themselves godlike, and then to make the organization they are godlike. But this is a relationship with Jesus Christ, and so a relationship. Elaine and I have been married, 47 years. Come in June, it's not, the yelling, and there was a little bit. Because you do it too. All right, there was a little bit. There's less of it now. And maybe it's because of my ears. Or maybe I'm going deaf. I don't know. but the reality is that the yelling and screaming and the threatening and all this kind of stuff does not build a good relationship. Jesus doesn't do that to you. He just says, come. Come as you are. I just want to hang out with you. I want to love you. I wanted to love you so much that I died on the cross for your sins, so that you and I and my Father and the Holy Spirit and all the other people who believe in me will spend all eternity together. That's a good message to yell out, not the other kind. Verse 2, it says, for day after day they seek me out. They seem eager to know my ways, as if they were a nation that does what is right and has not forsaken the commands of God. So they're looking good. We're looking good. Looking good is okay. But it's deeper than looking good. If you go through the book of Revelation, you'll find the seven churches, and they look good. That's God, when he talked to John to write that, he talked about the good attributes of each church to begin with. Because there's good stuff. But just surface stuff doesn't cut it. Have you ever met surface Christians? You don't have to put your hand up or point at anybody here, okay? They're kind of flaky. I didn't come to Christ for a long time because I met a lot of flakes in my town who were religious, but that was it. They didn't have a relationship with Christ, and they sure didn't have any of the characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit. They were actually, if you wanted to know what the fruit of the Spirit was, you just figured out what they were doing and did the opposite, and that was the fruit of the Spirit. And these were Christians, at least from that. So I didn't come to Christ because I didn't want to spend time with that kind of person. I want to spend time with people who are real and authentic. I want to spend time with people who love Jesus, who just kind of want to hang out. And you know what? When we get to heaven, I don't know what your concept of heaven is. I'm rereading a book called Heaven by Randy Alcorn. And it's all about what heaven's possibly like instead of one big church service that we all sit in like this. Forever and ever, amen. Just sing. And then, I don't know what else. For eternity. You think that's what God created? He created this world. He created this beautiful world that we have so many things to see and so many things to do and so many things to be a part of our lives. And just, it's so rich, don't you think? I know, I'm looking at some people here, and I know they're really creative in their minds. And you know, they paint pictures, they write music, or they do all sorts of media stuff, and they're just really creative. They see things, the beauty of this world. Well, this is nothing compared to what heaven's like. You know, Keith Green, a long time ago, Keith Green was a kind of a prophet and did really awesome music. And he sings a song about if God created the heaven and the earth in 6 days and then rested, and Jesus went back and he'd been gone for like 2,000 years plus. He says, living in this world is like living in a garbage can. Okay, now that's pretty harsh. But the reality is 2,000 years to create what we're going to a mansion. You know, and you know, and you think, well, I don't want to live by somebody. I don't want to go down some hallway. We have some mansions being built in Richmond here. I think they're pretty cool. I don't know whether I can, even if I was given one of those, which is highly unlikely, I couldn't afford to put furniture in all the rooms. What I'd do, I told Elaine, if we had a house like that, I'd just put all our furniture on wheels, and then I would just, you know, if people said, I'd like to look through your house, I'd say, okay, just a minute, and I'd move all the furniture into another room, and they'd walk in and say, this is beautiful, and then I'd move them into another room, and then I'd go, this is really nice, and then they'd go, this seems like the same furniture theme throughout the house. Yeah, well, we kind of like that. Reality is we can't afford anything different. So we got a mansion that you don't have to worry about furnishing, paying for, mowing the lawn, unless you like mowing the lawn. There's some mower lawners here, lawn mowers or whatever you want to call them. There's people who like to garden. There's people you'll be able to do all those things because that is what God's created for us. It's going to be a great place. Not going to be boring. So, for day after day they seek me out, they seem eager to know my ways. And if there was a nation that doesn't right, or what does right, and does not forsake my commandments of its God, they ask me for just decisions and they seem eager for God to come near them. Why, we have fasted, they say, and you have not seen it. And we have humbled ourselves, and you haven't even noticed. So Isaiah says, yet on the day of your fasting, you do as you please and exploit all your workers. My kids always knew when I was fasting because I was really grouchy. So because I was thinking about eating all the time and I was thinking about my body craving something. So then I was, you know, like I was really nasty. I was snappy, you know. Your fasting ends in quarreling and strife. Really? Maybe this is just the Irish that do this, but in the striking at each other with wicked fists, that's a great fasting day. Wouldn't you think and say, okay, everybody in the family, Thursday's going to be brawl day. We're just going to stop eating and start fighting. I'm going to call you things that you haven't been called before, and you're going to take a shot at me, and I'm going to knock you out, and this is the way we're going to be. It's not that way. That's religious observance of something that has no meaning or value at all. It has no meaning or value at all. You cannot fast as you do today and expect your voice to be heard on high. There's no arm twist in here. Well, you know what? God, I fasted 40 days. Oh, did you? Didn't notice. Really? I just met somebody who came off a 40-day fast. That's a lot. That's a big commitment. I don't know whether anybody in this church has done a 40-day fast. I haven't done one. And you need to be called to it. I've done 3- and 4-day fasts. Elaine's fasted longer than I have, and we have people in our churches before, and I'm sure there's people in here who have fasted more than 3-4 days. You don't do any dealing with God. You don't put some tickets in the file to say, hey, God, remember a year and a half ago I fasted 40 days? So I need this done right now. That's a mafia thing. Okay? That's it. It's the mafia thing. That's what we do in Italy. That's our family. My family came from there, and it would just, okay, this is the deal. I got a few, Vinny, I got a few chicks, you know, like, and then so you know what it is? What it is I'm going to collect now. But they forget who the real Godfather is, right? It's not Don Corleone. It's God the Father. He's God the Father, not God the Grandfather. He's not God the He is God the Father, not the Godfather. So don't try to deal with him like that. And he doesn't have a voice
like that either. Okay.
And the only reason that the actor had that voice is they put cotton in his mouth so his cheeks were all like this. I like my heritage. It's a little bit shady, but I like it. Is this the kind of fast I've chosen? Only a day for the people to humble themselves? One day to humble themselves? What does it say in 1 Peter? It says, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. At the right time, he will what? Raise you up. Is it only bowing one's head like a reed? Oh, praise God. Oh. Or is it lying in sackcloth and ashes? I don't know what that's like, but I've been around a few campfires, been through, as a firefighter, been through a few buildings that were just reduced to ashes. I don't think I want to lay in ashes and sackcloth. And I would understand that maybe sackcloth is like burlap sacks. But it's something that just says things are not going well. And I've reduced myself down to this. Is that what you call a fast? A day acceptable of the Lord? Is not this the kind of fasting that I've chosen for you? And this is why it's so important. And if you remember Liliana, when she came, she had fasted for every day that she ministered. And she did that before she came. You see, the fasting that God calls us to is to loose the chains of injustice. Isn't that us? Loose the chains of injustice. Is there any injustice in this world? There's injustice right here in Richmond. There's injustice right here in British Columbia. There's injustice in this Canadian, the world. What were the statistics about babies being aborted? How many? Down syndrome babies? 90%? 70%. That's injustice. That's actually murder. Abortion is murder. Now, there may be somebody in here who has had an abortion. Please understand that God is able to minister to you, and he does not condemn you for that. But when you take an innocent child's life, that is murder. And they do it at all stages now. It's absolutely horrible. And now they're going into euthanasia. So we can have assisted suicide, and there's all sorts of good arguments for it. There's not one good argument for it. God is the one who comes and gives us life, and he's the one also. There's a day, it says in Psalm 139, all the days that you have, God knows each one of them, and they're numbered. So he doesn't want you to, and please understand, my mom went through a couple of years of agony, and it was just horrible. I don't understand all of this, but I do know, understand a loving God. And he wants us to live. Anyways, that's my little soapbox for that. This is not the kind of fasting I've chosen. This is it, to loose the chains of injustice, untie the cords of the yoke. How many of us are in bondage? Bondage to our house because the payments are huge. I read the stats. Some people can't make any other payments because their mortgage payment's so high. And this world is crazy for that. Maybe there's difficulty with children and that kind of finance just to put food on the table. Untie the cords. So unbind. You know what that is? Unbind. Set that captive free. Set the oppressed free. Break every yoke. Hallelujah. Break every yoke so that you can be free in this world. You are not of this world. You're in it. But we can make it. Jesus made it. And the reason he made it was to show us that we can make it, and he gave us the Holy Spirit so we'd have the power to do so. He goes on to say, this is God speaking through Isaiah, is it not to share your food with the hungry? If you got enough, should you not share that with others? And really, in our country, we have more than enough. And to provide the poor wanderer with shelter, when you see them naked, to clothe them and not turn them away from your own flesh and blood. And that's the social justice part of the gospel. And we have organizations like UGM who do that really well, and Salvation Army that do that really well. And we have lots of good organizations, the Samaritan's Purse and all these people, that World Vision, all these people that do wonderful things, Billy Graham Association, all these people that do these wonderful things. But we have a responsibility too as a church, and maybe on a personal level. We're talking about fasting here. So fasting from the way you don't do things to the things that you start to do. And so this is what will happen. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will quickly appear. Can you get on to that? And then righteousness will go before you. Righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things will be added to you. Isn't that great? So we get the righteousness of Christ. He who had no sin, it says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, he who had no sin became sin on our behalf that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We are righteous. Do you feel very righteous? Don't put your hand up. Sometimes we don't feel very righteous. We feel pretty crummy. We feel pretty dirty. We feel pretty angry. But you are still righteous in Jesus Christ. And what you've had is all the circumstances around you told you, no, you're not. Look at you. Look at your response. Look at you. And you say, I'm the righteousness of God. No, you're not. According to them, yes, you are. According to God, your Father. Then it says, then your light will break forth like the dawn, and the healing will quickly appear, and then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Hey, don't you feel a lot better when you know there's somebody got your back? God's got your back. So you can go into anything, anywhere, anytime, and know that God's got your back. I love that picture in Psalm 23 where you sit down at the table he set before you in the midst of your enemies. And you have to have your back to the enemy somewhere. You can't sit down at that table if the enemy's all around you and be safe. So you have to put your back to some part of that enemy. God's got your back. God always has your back. Then you will call and the Lord will answer. Praise God. He will hear you. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, I will hear from heaven. Turn from their wicked ways. I'll hear from heaven. He said, ask and you will receive. That's it. Ask. Your kids, ask. Well, sometimes they don't. They just take. But if you ask God, he'll answer. He promised that. If you ask, he will answer. And you will cry for help and he'll say, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Hey, when you know that God's in your presence, nothing, absolutely nothing can separate us from the love of Christ. So whatever the enemy's doing or whatever another person's doing, to cause you grief and stuff, you are in the presence of God. And in the presence of God, there's healing, there's joy, there's peace, there's strength, there's love, there's everything that we need. If you do away with the yoke of oppression and the pointing finger and the malicious talk, what's that, Pastor Caleb? You have that little finger? I just like to take it and just snap it off. You know, when somebody, and I have had people come in, Pastor, you're not doing this, you're big lump down. And it's like, I don't need to listen to that. It may be the truth. I don't need to listen to that way. So I just say, you know what? I don't receive that in the name of Jesus. If you want to talk to me about something that God's put on your heart, talk to me. Talk to me and I'll listen because I am not perfect. Really close lately. No, no, I'm not perfect. I'm far from perfect. The only one that's perfect is Jesus Christ. So I need correction. I need direction as well. But the way you do it, pointing your finger and the malicious talk. And if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry, if you spend yourselves in behalf of the hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then your light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. Hey, you won't walk in the dark anymore. Hey, that's cool, don't you think? Everywhere you go, it's just like, we're renting a townhouse in Steveston, and it's really dark and black. And so you come down the first set of stairs from the front door, and then there's a little platform, and then there's two more stairs, but they're really hard to figure out where they are. And it's only two steps, but if you miss the top one, you're probably going to break your jaw or something when you go down, okay? So people come over and then you try to turn on as many lights and tell them about that. And so it was really interesting because what I did is I just went down to Canadian Tire and found this little thing that's an LED light. It has batteries and it's got a remote sensor on it. Go figure, eh? $19. Set it up there. Now, it works on, you know that, pal. I kind of like to go up and down the stairs just to see it go on and off. I know that's a bit weird, and so do the neighbors think that probably, but I think it's cool because now I'm not in the dark. Wherever I step in that area, the light comes on. Wherever you step in the area of Jesus Christ, the light is on. Pretend it's a fridge door. Open the door on the fridge. The light comes on, correct? Somebody said, if we're not supposed to eat at night, why is there a light in the fridge? I don't know. That's got nothing to do with this sermon here. I thought that's pretty good logic. The Lord will The Lord will guide you always, and he will satisfy your needs in the sun-scorched land, and he will strengthen your frame. You will not thirst. We talked about Jesus and the woman at the well. You will not thirst anymore if you have the living water inside of you. Inside of you, rivers, rivers of living water will spring up. You'll never thirst again, and strengthen your frame. We need physical strength. We do. But we need spiritual strength, and realize that that's where every other strength comes from. You'll be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I've seen well-watered gardens, and I've seen not-so-well-watered gardens. And we've had both of them, right, Elaine? Elaine has just got, I don't know where this green thumb grew, but since she's been in Richmond, she can grow anything anywhere. Our house is like, it's an awesome jungle, but it's kind of like a jungle. It's just great. Spider plants, yeah, not so much, but the rest of them I really like. We've had this talk before. It's not the first time she's heard that. But we would kill things. We'd go and get a whole tray of stuff from the nursery, take it home, and I don't know whether we lost interest in it or what, but then we would come home maybe in July or something or August, and it was like, all these things are brown and they're all dead, you know? Whatever it was, vegetables, flowers, whatever. So we decided before that we would just go to the nursery and we'd buy a tray of flowers and then we'd just kill them there. Because they're going to die anyway. And then we felt like at least we tried. Your people will rebuild the ancient ruins and will raise up the age-old foundations. Yes! We have some restoring, some rebuilding to do. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me. And you go all through that chapter in Isaiah 61, and you go through in chapter 4 of Luke, and it's all about this raising up the old ruins, rebuilding. Elaine and I were in Italy, and we went to Pompeii, and what they did literally is they raised up something which was covered under 11 or 12 feet of dust when the volcano went off. And you walk down these roads, and here's all this history of all that time, that era, a couple thousand years ago. And God doesn't just bring back the historical piece. He raises up something that is new and fresh and alive. He's the giver of life. You will be called repairer of broken walls, restorer of streets with dwelling. So you're not just going to see somebody else do this. It's you, every one of you in here. You will be called a repairer of broken walls. Isn't that awesome? Well, there's one person here is one. I think it's really awesome because you get to rebuild. You get to rebuild, and God will rebuild inside of you, and then you get to help rebuild someone else. Nehemiah stuff. Pretty cool. 52 days, rebuilt the walls around Jerusalem. And there's a big battle going on. 52 days. And all of a sudden, Satan, Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem couldn't come in anymore. Praise God. The enemy shouldn't be allowed in your life anywhere. You should only open that gate and let people come in or things come in that glorify God. If you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath, from doing as you please on my holy day, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's day a holy day an honorable, and if you honor it by going your own way and not doing as you please or speaking idle words, then you will find joy in the Lord. Now, I want to talk to you about the Sabbath. We need to be people of the Sabbath. We are workaholics. We're driven. We have all sorts of things that push us. We work more than we should. And you say, well, you don't understand. We all have mortgages. We all have kids. I understand that, but so does God. He understands Richmond today just like it was Richmond years and years ago or Jerusalem or anywhere. You need to observe the Sabbath. You need to get that as a rhythm in your life. I have struggled with this for years. And I'll tell you right now, and I'll give you something to help you maybe if you want to do some research in this. I have a have some jams and jellies in the back of my truck. No, I don't. I have written a book called Spiritual Sinkholes. And you can download that. It's an ebook for free for the next 5 days. Go to amazon.ca, Spiritual Sinkholes, and you can get that ebook, which is the same as the paperback book. You can get that, any one of you. Just go in there and you can get it for free. Download it. And it talks about Sabbath. It talks about where we should be, how we should walk in our spiritual life, what we can do to kind of relax and deal with stress. So I want to give that to you, okay? So it just go ahead and download it, and it doesn't cost you anything. And I don't have to sign it either because it's an ebook. We really need to become people of the Sabbath because we don't have a world that's Sabbath. We're a world that works 24/7, and if it could work 24/8, it would. We don't think we'll ever get to the place where we'll be able to make it. Let me tell you, that's a lie from the hell, right from the pit of hell. You're going to make it because you're making it today because God is in your life. If you give it all over to Him, you don't have to make it. He's already made it. Okay? You need to rest in Him. So there's a whole teaching on Sabbath. So that means you just sit there and you just read your Bible and just don't move. You don't do anything. You don't cook. No, I'm not talking about that. But if you enter into the Sabbath rest, you'll find that you can get more done in 6 days than you could in 7. It's mystical. I don't know how it works, but I know that it's true. So just go ahead and take advantage of that. And I will cause you to ride in triumph on the hill, on the heights of the land, and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. Hey, you looking for an inheritance? That'd be awesome. I don't think it's going to work. I told you that my mom passed away and left us $8 between three of us. $8. It's not even $8 American. It was just $8 Canadian. But the reality is, it's not the inheritance from our moms or our dads or our uncles or anyone. It's the inheritance from the Lord. And Isaiah, when you follow that down, it says, I'll give you a double portion. Okay, you'll inherit a double portion. Of what? Of Him. Of all that He has. He has the cattle on 1,000 hills. And the hills. So He's into, like, you can barbecue on the hills with His beef. Honestly, that's bringing it down to a practical thing. He will supply all that you need in a place where you can consume it. He loves you that much. So why has that got to do with fasting? It's because when you fast, you're trusting Him with all these things. When you fast, you're hearing from Him about all these things. Pastor Randy, if you'd come with the team. I never sold a book when I preached before. Well, I didn't really sell this one either. Elaine says, you're not making any money on your books. I'd go to a conference, and I'd say I'd have a book table, and I'd have $20 for a book. And so she said, well, how many did you sell today, Jim? And I said, I sold 9. She said, how many did you give away? I said, 17. So, but I'm not interested in being, I am the best-selling author in my family. That's about it. But I don't care about that piece. I want to get this truth, just like this sermon. I want to get that truth into your hands so that you can enjoy Jesus. You know, people come and say, can you pray? Because I'm so busy. Can you pray? Can you do this? Can you, you know, pray for me that I would get some rest? Actually, no. I heard a preacher said, no, I won't pray for you. Because God has already made provision. He said in Hebrews chapter 4, He says, enter my rest. He didn't say, ask to be able to come into it. He said, enter it. I've given it to you. I've given you my rest. What a gift, don't you think? And let him, and as you get into that rhythm of, in your life, all these other things we talked about, it's a form of fasting. You're going to fast from work. You're going to fast from work. Wow. You know, you might just fast from watching TV. You might fast from eating apple pie 3 times a day. Get her down to once, maybe, with ice cream or something. But what you're going to do is you're going to change the way you do things because you're going to say, God, you're going to take that place. I'm going to talk with you a bit. We're going to hang out a bit. And then the more familiar and the more comfortable you come with him, you'll see how he does all the things that you are worried about. It's really quite simple. Jesus observed the Sabbath. Except he did healing on that. Drove the Pharisees nuts. But he said, man is not created for the Sabbath, but the Sabbath for man. So take advantage of it. Take advantage of the gift that God has given us. And that's a form of fasting that you can start with. Would you stand with me? Thank you, Jesus. We have already had people come forward for prayer, and that's awesome. I love the way God does that kind of thing. If you have needs still, then I'd invite you to come forward. One of the most important things that I need to ask you is if you have that personal relationship with Jesus Christ so that you can enter in and receive all this from him and have him in your life and your sins forgiven. That's huge. That's a huge thing. So I just want you to bow your heads with me. And I want you to say this prayer. Maybe you've never said it before. And if you hadn't, and you want to come up, please, after, just to say, hey, you know what, I just said that prayer for the first time. And we'll connect you with some material. We'll connect you with some support and encouragement and invite you in to learn more about Jesus. But I want you to say this prayer with me. And you can all say it, and that make it a bit more comfortable for people around you. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for loving us, especially loving me. I ask you now to forgive my sins, to become my Savior, my best friend, and my Lord. I thank you for this new life that you've given me. Help me to walk in a way that pleases you. I give everything over to you. All the good stuff, all the bad stuff, because I know you want to take me the way I am. So thank you, Father, Holy Spirit, and Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to worship here. If you want to come forward for prayer, we just encourage you to do so. Thank you, Jesus.